The cerebrum has suffered massive and irreparable damage.
You never know what has happened to him.
Had I not been sure of this, I would not have permitted him to live.
Where?
Father?
What happened?
I need help.
Help!
Got something to do with young men killing each other, Arthur.
When it comes my turn, will you want me to go?
For democracy, any man would give his only begotten son.
Celebrated individual to experience pain, pleasure, memory, dreams, or thought of any kind. This young man will be as unfeeling, as unthinking as the dead until the day he joins them.
I don't know whether I'm alive and dreaming or dead and remembering.
How can you tell what's a dream and what's real when you can't even tell when you're awake and when you're asleep?
Where am I?
I can't remember anything. Can't tell if this is true or dream. Deep down inside I feel the scream. This terrible silence stops in there. Now that the war is...
Good evening and welcome back to Vet Talk on News Talk K57. My name is Sean Watts. I'm a member of the VFW.
Johnny at Two Light Techno. Member of
the Military Order of Purple Heart.
That was Johnny.
Tom Devlin, Military Order of Purple Heart on Guam.
And back in the studio with us, taking the engineering booth, we have Jonna. Welcome back.
Good evening. Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
You're looking good, girl.
Thank you.
Of course, we appreciate Isaiah stepping in and filling in the shoes while you were gone.
Really appreciated.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take care of some announcements. I have a few here. Actually, I had a phone call yesterday. A veteran was asking about how to... get rides to and from appointments. So I'm going to put that information out again. The operations is, it's for medical appointments only due to limited resources, Monday through Friday. Obviously, closed weekends and holidays. First pickup time is 0800. Last drop-off time is 1700. A scheduler will call to confirm the reservations one day before the scheduled pickup. You can schedule the rides 14 days in advance. Cancellations. 24 hours in advance. Passengers must present their DOD or Veterans Affairs identification card to the driver, and this is a free service. Okay. The phone numbers to call are 475-4686, 475-4616, 300-4270, or 688-7105.
That's a lot of numbers, man.
It is. This information is also available on their website, grta.guam.gov. Again, that's grta.gov. I'm sorry, grta.guam.gov. Also got an email from the Got Your Six group, John Conception. He goes, we're losing one too many veterans a day to suicide. We know this is happening, and we must come up with a plan together. We cannot lose the fight at home anymore. We must put our differences to the side and come together as one unit respectfully so that those that are in the shadows can come to light. I propose a gathering where each and every one of you can proudly fly your guidons and banners proudly and visible enough to attract our struggling brothers and sisters. A day to let them know we exist and that they are not alone. With that said, an official flyer will be posted and spread. This is bottom line for this. Who? Veterans of Guam. What? Show of support. Where? Chief, how do you say this?
Kapua
Park to Attaloop. Let's see. When? March 26, 2021 at 16:30. That's 4:30 in the afternoon. Why? We know why, but we silent. I think I'll put this out, and we can probably put this up on the News Talk K57 Facebook. Okay. Johnny, you have any announcements?
Other than the commission meeting, which Tommy and I both attended, it went along pretty good, but it was because it needs to be further discussed, and I was hoping that Tim Ogden would have been here this evening, and I would have just stood by and let him do all the talking about it.
Well, I believe he's on a call in at about 7:30.
That'll be fine, and he can take the ball and run with that. Other than that, Military Order Purple Heart, the meeting will be on next week, Wednesday, and we're gonna have our selection of officers, and we'll see where we stand with National.
Okay, Tom.
No, I don't. I gave you basically all the announcements.
Okay, you gave all the announcements. I'm going to cover some of these periodically. I'm not going to jump through all these paperwork at the same time.
No.
American Legion is going to have their monthly meeting this Saturday, 11 o'clock, in the upstairs meeting room at the American Legion. And this will be to elect the officers for the year. It got delayed a month. I'm not sure why. I do know why. We didn't have a whole lot of people at the meeting last month, so they delayed the elections to this month. So this Saturday, 11 o'clock, American Legion. 11 o'clock, yeah. Okay. Tom, I'm noticing you're wearing new glasses.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I see a letter here. The procedures for getting new glasses have changed a little bit.
Yes.
I guess the eyeglass office that the VA had up in Teason isn't open still.
No, it's not there anymore.
Okay. All right, so
kind of sporty looking there.
Thank you, John.
I got new glasses too.
Huh?
I'm sorry, John. It's been a while since we've seen you.
Yeah, you look good with the new glasses.
Slow down.
Like a different woman.
Is that blue?
Yeah, I think it's blue.
They are.
Yeah.
For a matter of fact, they're Tiffany's and Company.
Oh. Big time.
Somebody gets paid more money.
Puts
than we
us
do.
To shame, man. We're on the government dole.
Wait, somebody gets paid here? What are we talking about?
She does. We don't.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
I am an employee here.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Then you deserve it. You work as hard as you do.
All right, let's get back to the eyeglasses here.
Yeah, the eyeglasses.
All right, the current eyeglass vendor during COVID-19 on Guam is Lombard Health, and they can be reached at 323-4747 extension 2. Vendor's hours Monday through Friday, 7:30 in the morning to 11:30, then again 1 in the afternoon to 4:30. Please call to verify due to COVID, as some vendors may require an appointment. Lombard Health only supplies the choices of frames in their inventory and other medically determined additions you may need. If you already have frames or received the items requested, that's personal there. Let's see. If you have any questions, contact the Honolulu office.
If I may.
Yeah. Well.
Brand new pair also. Brand new pair. Just picked it up last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to comment on the fact that Dr. Lombard, retired Navy, his father, retired Navy, both medical men, very efficient. And to the clinic and the employees there, job well done. And you go there, you get taken care of promptly, efficiently, and responsibly. And they figure out what you need, and you just step around the corner, and they order it, and they get it. And so that's a veteran's benefit right there that I applaud. That's being done. I'm very happy with the service.
I agree with you, John.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Okay, let's stay with the...
For once.
Let's... I was given another piece of information. I wasn't sure when I was going to introduce this into the show this week.
I'm glad you're back. Welcome
what,
back.
What's wrong, Johnny? Did you not sit over here last week?
Not at all.
No?
No. Thank you, Isaiah, for taking my hand.
Oh, man, I was missing for that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, girl.
Yeah, you missed John's debut as the host of the show.
Hey, I think we did okay, though. We skinned by our teeth.
Okay, anyway, what I have here is I have a letter from the Vice Speaker to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Mm. National Secretary of Veteran Secretary of Veterans Affairs, yes. Missed a week. I'm a little rusty this week for some reason. I don't know what's going on.
It was what happens a week off.
Goes, dear Secretary, half a day, greetings from Guam. I'd like to congratulate you on your appointment and confirmation as the Secretary of Defense, or Department of Veterans Affairs. As a proud wife and mother of Air Force veterans, I appreciate your sentiments that there is no sacred obligation or noble undertaking than to uphold our promises to our veterans, whether they came home decades ago or days ago. It's with this in mind, I write you today to advocate for the estimated 24,000 proud veterans who call this island home. Guam, dubbed Where America Days Begin, has the highest number of veterans per capita. While history has shown that the people of Guam going back to World War II have been proudly fighting for the United States, VA medical spending per veteran is the lowest in the nation. As I watched firsthand the obstacles my husband must overcome and hear the concerns of countless constituents who come to my office, I hope that under your leadership, we can finally do right by our veterans. As the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, that's ARPA, makes its way through Congress, I hope that the 772 million dollars proposed under section 8001 of ARPA for claims processing and appeals, and the additional 482 million dollars proposed under section 8002 of the ARPA for medical care and health needs. We can start by providing a location for local veterans to submit their claims. Currently, Guam veterans must submit their claims through Hawaii, either through the mail or online. Furthermore, when they need to talk to an individual, the time difference between Guam and Hawaii provides for an additional obstacle for our proud heroes to access quality health care. Additionally, Guam also does not have an inpatient care facility, forcing veterans to travel to Hawaii to avail of services. It is for these obstacles I can attest to you that many veterans simply choose not to avail services from the VA. During times like these, especially with the threat of COVID-19, I think we must do all we can to ensure that our veterans be afforded access to health care. I hope that with the anticipated swift passage of the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, we can change the current stigma and provide our heroes access to health care. I thank you for your time and look forward to working closely with you. Please do not hesitate to contact me should you have any questions or if I can be of any assistance to you. Sincerely, Tina Munya Barnes, Vice Speaker, 36th Guam Legislature. This was also countersigned by six other senators: Jose Trelaje, Talina Nelson, Joe St. Augustine, James Moreland, Tony Atta, and Frank Blas Jr. I want to, first off, Tom, what are your thoughts on this letter?
It's a good letter. It's a good beginning. I think the veterans themselves have got to do a better job in educating elected leaders on veterans issues.
Mm-hmm.
Some do a better job at it than others, but I think in general we've missed the boat in certain areas. All things being equal, I would like to see a letter sent out similar to that under the governor's letterhead,
mm-hmm.
signed by all 15 legislative senators.
Mm-hmm.
When you send that out, and do they read it? Yeah, somebody reads it. We all know that. At least everybody's on the same page. They look at it and say, we may have political disagreements, whatever the political disagreements are, but when it comes to the veterans issues, at least we can agree on something. And I think that's the message we have to send to the people in Washington, D.C. And I think as a island, this is just my opinion, the veterans leaders, the various veterans leaders of the various veterans organizations, some more than others, have been remiss in that and pushing that envelope. And I think elected leaders in the past, in general, have been remiss in that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to send a message. You can talk to them publicly. You can, you know, all of us in the room know the Dog and Pony Show. But privately, you have to tell them, I'm representing a certain amount of veterans on Guam who served their nation. And they're not getting the same basic benefits within reason that you get in the States. How can you help us?
Okay.
That's my comment.
Johnny.
What?
What's your comments on this letter?
It's all political BS.
Okay.
Now, wait, I'm not finished. Okay. Allow me to finish. I'm the only local Chamorro in this room, and I demand service. I just counted the years since I've been out of the service here. My last duty station was Naval Hospital Guam. That was 56 years ago. Now, I've been here for better of 50 years. That's half a century. And if anybody's seen changes, and if anybody's wanted changes for the benefits of our most decorated patriots, of any indigenous unit in the world, the most decorated, the most that paid the price and spilt the most blood, my people. I'm Titanal. I'm not Wilson. I'm not Johnson. That's 20 years too late. And she's been in office how long? How many, about these other guys? I am so sick of bureaucratic BS. It's not funny. And where are we from 5 years ago? No better than we were 10 years ago. Now they were recognizing a few things. 24,000 of our people are GIs, veterans, decorated or not. That was better than before we brought them on board to become senators, because they considered it 15, 18. Well, we're coming up. How much do we bring in every year, Tom?
Over 55.
55 million gazelles that's come to this island. Plus the $3 billion that the federals kicked in the last year since this COVID. Where's the money? The island didn't grow another 50 miles, sideways or in length. So to these people that put out this bureaucratic BS, good for you. Because nobody remembers the old days. All they want to know is what's going on right now with me, I. That's all.
That's all.
Thank you.
All right. There's one fact in here that's incorrect. Guam is not the highest per capita. We always said that. We've said that on the show several times. It's actually the second highest.
Capital. Right. Who's the highest?
I believe that's Wyoming. Is actually per capita has more people go into the military. I found that out when I was doing research for a school paper.
Okay, I'm talking about decorated.
That's fine. Good, okay. You had your spill.
Well, that's good.
My time.
Go ahead. It's your show. You're back. I'm glad.
Okay. Another thing that sticks out to me is why was this coming from the vice speaker? I understand she may have wrote it. How come not all the senators signed off on this? That's a question I have.
Good point.
All the veterans that are in office right now signed it looks like, from recollection off the top of the head I have right now. One, we're never going to get a regional office on Guam. It's never going to happen. We're never going to get a veterans hospital here on Guam. It's again, we don't have enough people currently. There's what? How many people get seen through the CBOC right now?
Roughly 3,000 to 3,500 a year.
Yeah, somewhere between 3,000, we'll call it 3,000 and 4,000.
All right, yeah, okay.
Yeah, just for sake of round numbers.
Each year increases.
I agree. Going with what we have right now. Is the CBOC too small? Yes, it is. I agree with that. The services that are provided are too small. One of the things that she brought up in this letter was the amount of money spent per veteran. I agree with that. It's not enough. It's way too little. It's one of the lowest in the nation. What Guam needs is not necessarily a regional office, but a regional director. All right. I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now. That's running the CBOC right now. He's doing a good job with
Dr. Burke.
Brooks. He's done a great job since he's been in that position. The amount of wait times has decreased before COVID hit. Things were getting turned around. They're trying to get the right positions filled. But the thing is, he's still seeing patients. He's not, the director position that he's doing is like an additional duty to him. The money that he spends or he gets, it still comes from Hawaii. Okay? Guam, not necessarily Guam, but Guam and the Marianas area region needs their own budget, their own director to manage that budget. They can still report to Hawaii. That's fine. They can still fall under them as a regional office. But we need a director to see this, to direct the people, to do the community outreaches that need to happen, because the guys that are up in the TSUN office, in the VA office up there, yes, they're doing outreaches, what, once a quarter, twice a year maybe? And it's the same information, burial benefits, VA home loans, school. It's all the same stuff. You're never getting any information about what's going on with filing claims. What's the process for claims? What's the expected wait times for all of this? That's not happening. A director here would take care of that and make sure that the issues that the Guam veterans has can be met through the outreach programs that they do, the community meetings that they do. So another question I have on this letter is, did the director of Guam Veterans Affairs Office see this?
Undoubtedly not.
Did he have anything to say about this? Any input at all? And he's supposed to be calling in here in about 40 minutes. Maybe we can ask him and see if he knows anything about this letter. I don't know if he's listening right now. Hopefully he is, so we don't have to rehash the letter completely.
But I wouldn't even pay attention to that letter. It's all.
We need a bigger facility, adequate parking, our own pharmacy, so we don't have to rely on the pharmacy at the Navy Hospital, which, by the way, is doing a great job. But they're only providing your first 30 days. After that, you get your medications through the mail. That doesn't work.
But you do get, and I'm proof to this. If I need medications, I got an on-call doctor at CBOC who write out a prescription for whatever I need, whether it's refurbishment or what, and I can take it to any pharmacy on this island. Not only I haven't bothered the Navy pharmacy in I don't know how long.
Well, again, that's for when you first get prescribed a new prescription drug. You can take it to the Navy pharmacy to get filled until the mail system can kick in to get your medications through the mail.
I take 9 different pills a day.
Yeah, well,
and keeping up to date, the VA is really good about keeping tabs on what's going to expire, when you're going to run out, and everything. And if you do run out, you get it either refilled on Guam, or you have it refilled through the VA in just a couple of days, believe me.
Okay.
The system's pretty good.
All right. You're one veteran.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know other veterans that get all their prescriptions through the mail. So it's not a cookie cutter.
Well, no, it's not. Nothing else. This pandemic, though, has really wakened a lot of eyes as to the procedures and who's working and who's not working on behalf of the vet. Mm. And like, I've been up to the CBOC a couple times with a couple of things, and all my questions and all my I was greeted professionally by professional people, and I was attended to on phone by a doctor, and everything resolved. Everything became resolved. I'm very happy with it. Now, my situation is different than yours, because you're still fighting for your Bill of Rights of what you don't have any points on the board yet, but hopefully we're going to get you that soon.
Yeah, Tom, you have any more comments?
I tend to agree with you both. The way I see it, I think we need a regional office. Or maybe that's not the right word to use, a regional.
We need a regional director, mm-hmm. Not necessarily an office where a full-blown office.
I believe we need an office. And I believe we need an office to cover the veterans and Guam, American Samoa, the CMI, Palau, Chuuk, Yap, whatever. Wherever the United States takes a young man or woman to enlist in the military service, if they have the time and the money to go, you know, campaigning to enlist somebody from wherever in our area, let's say, mm-hmm. I think the United States government, with the VA, should have the same time and consideration if the veteran needs care, to take care of that veteran, mm-hmm. based on the disability, based on whatever. So I think Guam in particular, I think we've matured over the years. We've learned. We learned how to speak to political people from Washington, D.C. And I think they got surprised when they would come to Guam that we're not stupid. We speak the English language. And I remember, and I'll say this quite frankly, it's not going to be very politically correct, but it's the truth. We had a meeting with a CODEL from Washington, D.C., and I believe it was in one of the hotels. I can't remember which one. And some senators, maybe 10 years ago, were mm-hmm. in there also. And I was looking in the room, and it was a nice room, nice plush chairs, and they had the big chair in the front. So what do you think Tom Devlin went to? The big chair in the front. Sitting in the front like I was the guy in charge. I was no one more in charge of the meeting than the man to moon, but I wasn't going to stand and wait for the CODEL. So I went in there, and everybody else came in, the other veterans leaders on Guam, and the local senators. And then the CODEL came in. And you're looking at their face, looking at me. The white guy in the room, surrounded by brown people. It's the way it is. And they were speaking, and I said, believe it or not, we all speak English here, so you don't have to slow your pace in speaking English. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the attitude they had, and hopefully that's changed.
All right, we are up against the top of the hour, so we have to take a break for the CBS News. This has been Vet Talk on News Talk K57. We'll be back right after the news.
Explore the possibilities. Your talk, your station, News Talk K57. With every step you take.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We're right there with you. Your talk, your station, News Talk K57.
generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. All right.
Good evening. Welcome back to Vet Talk on News Talk K57. My name is Sean Watson, a member of the VFW.
Light Titano, and I'm a Military Order of Purple Heart.
Tom Dolan, I'm one of the members of Military Purple Heart. I'm going.
And we have Johnny in the studio playing some excellent music this week.
That wasn't my pick. It's your music.
Yeah.
It is pretty amazing.
Okay. I missed some housekeeping at the top of the show, and I apologize for that. We are broadcasting on 570 AM, 96.5 FM. And we have video on News Talk K57 on Facebook, PNCGuam.com, K57.com, and we're also on TV channel 2 for Docomo, and I think it's 3 or 6 for GTA. Okay, and if you want to call in and be a part of the show, our phone number is 477-5757. And we have the director of the Guam Veterans Affairs Office on hold, so we're just going to go straight to the phone lines. Director Tim Uggen, how are you doing? Hello? Hello? Tim, are you there? There you are.
I'm sorry.
This is not Tim from Guam's Veterans Affairs Office.
I thought you were my friend.
Yeah. All right, Tim, what do you have?
Okay, what I have is, we're all veterans here on island. And then, as soon as the governor declares Peace Corps 3, everybody wants to make money out of funds.
Hey, Tim, does this concern veterans?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What do you have?
I always feel the same thing. I feel I had a power outage yesterday, at 1:00. And really, if the other veteran felt it, it's either by new rice bucks.
Hello?
We lost him.
I didn't understand a single thing he said.
Yeah. What's... yeah. No.
Oh, is that your friend?
Okay. Anyway, Tom, where were we?
You're talking about the announcement, you know, the show.
Oh, where we? That was the housekeeping. I thought that was Tim Uggen on the phone.
No, he's going to call in around 7:30.
Okay, I apologize.
Need a director.
Yeah.
That's where you were. Got it. Need a director for VA affairs on Guam.
Right. That was before the break.
Yeah.
During the break, we were actually talking. I'm glad we brought this up. We talked about the price of gases. Mm-hmm. The price of gas is now $4.29 a gallon.
Okay.
The last time I was on the show 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I had said, I give it 2 weeks and gas prices will go up. They've gone up twice,
mm-hmm.
20 cents since the last time I was on the show. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And that's something the government should have some kind of control over. Because during this time when nobody's dependent on anything but federal handouts, these people are they're going to be running around stealing gas from everybody's house.
Yeah, that's crazy, absolutely crazy. Since we have some time before Tim Uggen calls in, I got some VA news. Military veterans in Hawaii, of all places, we'll have to wait for a COVID virus vaccine. The Department of Veterans Affairs began administering its first doses of the newly approved COVID-19 vaccine on the mainland, but veterans in Hawaii will have to wait a little longer. This actually dated from February 26th. The VA recently announced that its initial 37 vaccination sites that will be receiving the Pfizer vaccine, the first to be approved by the FDA, the sites include several regional systems on the mainland, as well as the Caribbean VA healthcare system in Puerto Rico. The initial doses are for VA healthcare workers and veterans in long-term care facilities. But the VA Pacific Island Healthcare System, which is headquartered in Honolulu, wasn't on the list. I thought they were on the list for the vaccine.
Originally, they were not on the list.
I thought they were.
Yeah. Then another report came out said they were. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing in Washington, which is normal.
I think since this came out on February 26th, they actually have the vaccine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Every day things change with this virus.
Yeah.
When the virus is, you know, the injections, who's getting the injection, who's getting what, you know.
Guam's run out of the vaccine. The only one holding a couple hundred doses is Kmart. Heard it on the Tony Lamarena show. It was said by Dr. What's his name?
Shea.
Yeah. Well, Guam is receiving vaccines this week and is reopening their mass vaccination clinics Monday.
So all the herd get on down there.
Yeah. And for the first 2 weeks, it sounds like it's only for the second dose. If you're waiting to get the first dose, you have to wait to the end of the month. And you have to make an appointment to get there, to get the second dose. Okay. You know, I actually read this next article in the Stars and Stripes. Deported veterans stranded far from home after years of military service press Biden to bring them back. This particular article is about a Mexican citizen who joined the U.S. military, went to fight over in Iraq or Afghanistan, one of the two, completed his service, and since he was serving overseas, when he went into the military, his package didn't have his naturalization paperwork for him to become a U.S. citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was out processing, they didn't let him back into the country, basically. Actually arrested him. He spent 9 years in jail.
In the States?
Yeah. And now he's in, I think, Juarez, Mexico. Waiting, trying to get back. I reunited with his family, which is actually in the States now. But that's just one case out of several. I miss anything in that, Tom?
No, I think the government in the United States has got to do a better job. When these individuals enlist in the military, they know they enlisted in the military. They know they're from a foreign mm-hmm. country. Well, number one, they should be guaranteed, this is me, they should be guaranteed U.S. citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they commit a major crime, murder, you know, armed robbery, that's a different story. They can actually take that naturalization papers and toss mm-hmm. them in the garbage
yep.
and ship you back to your country of origin. I don't have a problem with that. But if a veteran served the United States, the people of the United States, and he's entitled to U.S. citizenship when he, you know, leaves or after 4 years, when he leaves the military service, the government of the United States should honor that promise. Mm-hmm. And because when you go back in history, there are a lot of immigrants that have come to the United States of America and enlisted in the military from various countries, and they got their paper, they got their sheet. We had a fella who went to Vietnam, and he was given citizenship in Vietnam, and 3 days later he lost both his legs.
Mm.
Okay? The United States owes him a lot.
Right. As you guys know, before I came to Guam, I spent 11 years in South Korea as a contractor working with the military. I ran into, believe it or not, Russians serving in the United States military. Mm-hmm. Russians, obviously Koreans, Germans, all types of people that were serving U.S. military that were working on getting their citizenships. I think if you serve in the United States military from another country, first off, it's kind of that's a hard hurdle to jump to begin with. Citizenship should be part of that package.
Yes, I agree.
You're serving, defending the United States of America. I think that should be in there. I agree with you, Tom. Mark it down, John. I agree with Tom.
Damn, I got two today. Oh, damn. Damn. On my side. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
Johnny, you have anything on that one?
No. It's so... In the military, I've met so many things that have been convoluted and mixed up and stuff. Half of it's unbelievable. But it happens. And you know, we got a saying for that, but I can't say it on the air because... You know, when things get messed up, they get messed up.
Yeah, but then when they do get messed up, we as citizens of this country, who basically come from immigrant families, mm-hmm. have to say to our own government, what you're doing is wrong. The only ones that aren't immigrants are the American Indians. They were there first.
Right.
And we, as all these other immigrants that come from wherever they come from, and their families, you know, start at the bottom, and they work their way up to the top. And many times, immigrant families, the way to get to the top for young men in particular, 20, 30 years ago, was you go in the military. That's the way you progressed. And then you went into sort of the, for a better term, the American mainstream, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that. And this government has got to do a better job in honoring their promises to these young people. And when you hear something like that today, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You want people... It's very difficult to get people, young people, to enlist in the military. It's very difficult when you don't have a draft. You keep activating, reactivating, and activating again. Friday, before they had the Veterans Commission, they had a delegation of National Guard people in the conference room, the governor's conference room, before everybody even came in, because I was there an hour before. And they were having a practicing a ceremony for the Red Horse, the Air National Guard
mm-hmm.
group. They were being activated. They were going off island. So, you know, the United States of America owes these individuals that go in the military a lot better sometimes than what they're doing, especially if they're immigrants from a foreign country and what they want is U.S. It should almost be mandatory. They if they do there for at least 4 years, if they do 4 years and keep their nose clean, as they say, when they get discharged, part of that discharge is American citizenship, and a passport is issued to them right there on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, right now we got a handful of Russians that are down there in front of Adaloop on hunger strike.
Yeah.
They just want to be recognized. Somebody recognize their appeal for what they want,
mm-hmm.
what they're asking for, but they can't even do that.
The last bit of news that I have, former VA hospice nurse sentenced for diverting and tampering with morphine meant for dying veterans. This is out of Massachusetts. A woman was sentenced today for diverting morphine while she was employed as a nurse in the hospice unit in the Veterans Affairs Medical Center campus in Bedford. She was sentenced to 40 months in prison and 3 years of supervised release. In October 2020, she pleaded guilty to one count of tampering with a consumer product and one count of obtaining a controlled substance by misrepresentation, fraud, deception, and subterfuge. She used her position as a nurse to obtain doses of morphine that were meant to be given to the veterans under her care in the hospice unit. She admitted that she mixed water from the sink, with a portion of the liquid morphine doses and then administered the diluted medication to patients orally. She then ingested a diluted amount of the remaining drug. 40 months. She only got 40 months.
Mm-hmm.
Man. What's supervised release?
What they do is, I guess, when you get out of prison, you go home and you have to make a phone call. They make a phone call to your house to make sure you're there. I don't know.
We have a phone call. We have Ben. Welcome to Vet Talk. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys? I thought you forgot about me.
No. We just need to get through that last little bit. I saw you on hold. Sorry I kept you there for so long.
Well, anyways, thanks, guys, for being on the air. A lot of good subject, but it looks like you went forward a little bit, one notch. I want to go back to talking about the immigrants joining the military and stuff like that. Okay. And I have that, I encounter one guy in Vietnam in reference to, he was a German citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at that and thinking about it. I think, that goes deep into the immigration situation and stuff. But there's got to be a one-to-one agreement or compromise or covenant with the military when these guys join the military. And in addition to, they can only serve at a certain type of a position within the military.
Yeah, right. That is a true statement.
They cannot go to combat. In a way.
In a way, yeah. Most of the positions they do, I've seen them work in hospitals. I've seen them in administrative jobs.
Like in the aviation unit, helicopter assault unit, for example, we had this guy works at the machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he does. But, it's a pretty deep subject when you think about entitlement for these guys. But I imagine that, they ventured into the military and be part of the military with certain specification and agreement. So we don't really know that.
Yeah, but I think you can still agree with this, that if you're serving in the United States, you get accepted into the United States military. There's already been a background check done on you, and if you wanted to become, not everyone wants to become a U.S. citizen that serves in the military. That's a true statement. But if they want to, they should have that path to move forward to do that.
I agree with you on that. I mean, there's just something I just want to bring out, the fact that there's got to be some type of a administrative agreement with these people, with this classification of folks that are joining the military, as to what is it in there for them. Just like John says, I and me. Okay? So, we learned a lot from there. But anyways, that's just the reason why I called in. And before I get off the conversation, I hope that the director will call in and especially, you guys do me a favor. Ask him about what type of plans are in store for Memorial Day when he gets in there or he calls in.
You know what, Ben? That is a really good question. I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, that's just a tickler in everybody's mind. Other than that, Dad, say thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
All right, great. You have a great night and stay safe.
Yeah, be good, Dad.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
okay,
bye-bye. Bye. That's a good question. You two guys were at the Veterans Commission meeting this mm-hmm. past Friday. Mm-hmm. Was anything brought up about that at the commission meeting?
The Memorial Day?
No. Memorial Day.
Zilch.
Actually, what I felt, one of the things that should have been brought up, which wasn't, is I think they should have discussed the budget, the local Veterans Affairs budget. The leaders of the veterans organizations and the officers of the commission are going to have to start walking the halls and start advocating to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it 2 days before, you got to do it now. You got to get elected leaders' mindset in that what's been, sent from Attleut, more likely than not, is not going to be enough to run two cemeteries in the Veterans Affairs Office.
We already know it's not.
Well, I'm just saying. So I think the commission, as an institution, has got to start looking ahead for the budget, because it's everybody's going to be going in there asking for more money that doesn't exist. So,
Mm-hmm.
So the veterans themselves have got to get their piece of the pie fairly, but they've got to advocate with the senators
Yeah, because we all know what the director of the GVAO said on the air with us.
Yes.
What the dollar figure that he had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
However, the dollar figure that Attaloop sent to the legislature was about $1.5 million less of what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Ballpark figure,
yeah,
there.
Ballpark figure. Yeah.
Just over $700,000, yeah, is the figure that, mm-hmm, we're talking about. Well, hopefully when the director calls in tonight, we can get an update on that, because really, really like to know what's going on with that. Go ahead.
Another thing. Back to that thing where, what do these guys get for being inducted into the United States Army and serving from other countries and other places? You know, a good one to ask would be a recruiter. A recruiter would have all those kind of answers, don't you think? I'm just saying.
I think you're on the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as far as the budget's concerned, that's relative to that letter. What we get is what we get. But we'll let Tim answer that.
Yeah, sure. And I want to thank Ben for calling in. That was a great thing about, especially the Memorial Day. Because
that was Dan.
Dan?
Oh,
screen Dan. Screen Oh, that was Dan?
Yeah. Dan Mandela. Yeah.
Really? I didn't recognize his voice.
Yes, yeah.
Sorry, Dan.
So
I apologize.
You took a vacation.
You've Dan the man.
Dan the man.
Well, okay. That just threw me completely off. Just threw me way off track here.
This is a dizzy day today, boy.
Wow.
Everybody has a day like that. I mean, that's just
well, you know what? Here, let me throw this out there. If you missed this show is rebroadcast every Saturday from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. 11:30 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. We have another phone call.
Okay.
Joe, you're on Vet Talk. How you doing tonight?
A bunch of mature and responsible men having a conversation about things of our nation. I just want to point out, you're talking about planning ahead, asking ahead of time for money for the budgets to take care of issues of regarding the cemeteries and the veterans issues. And I just want to bring up, obviously, you already know, we have a 20-something trillion national debt, and baby boomers, you know, your generation, most of you are baby boomers, some of you are Gen Xers, but this can be a bigger debt by the time everyone, I mean, you all feel like you need assistance programs, and so we need to start addressing that a little bit. You know, unfortunately, you had that incident in New York State where some of those people in the you know, they're forced into those homes and they caught the virus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many of them were veterans, but yeah, I think we need to start looking after our elders more or better, and that includes you all. So I just want to throw it out there and say that it's a good idea to ask in advance and to prepare to think of these things well in advance. So thanks for your time there. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. We appreciate your phone call. So. I mean, that's true. We've talked about this on the show since we started back up, 2 months ago. Back in January, we started back on the show. We are in the middle of a huge pandemic right now, and there's a lot of money that's not coming into Guam that they're used to getting. However, I'll agree with the average Joe, I think he goes by. There's a lot of things that need to happen before, but I don't think we should still get off the topic of talking about the money and how much money is needed to run the Guam Veterans Affairs Office. Johnny?
Well, we bring in $50 million to the government of Guam coffers.
You know, Tom and I were talking last night about GRMC. And about how much money they get from seeing veterans.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take a stab at what that number would be, Johnny?
No, because you're throwing me off base here. You asked me a question, and I was going to answer it now. I'm completely blown away. I have no idea, but I'm very interested in finding out.
It's between $5 and $8 million a year.
Just a GRMC.
Just GRMC.
Imagine how much to.
We don't have the GMH. Exact figure, but the average was between $5 and $8 million.
Well, let me make it even simpler. The average veteran, 24,000 veterans on Guam. Just for argument's sake, 25,000.
Okay.
How many wear glasses?
Hey, I don't
know. No, think about that. And more likely than not, the older veterans are probably the ones that have more tendency to wear glasses.
Yeah.
Okay. My glasses were $500. So times $500 times the amount of veterans that are wearing glasses.
Mine was $480.
I was going to say, you guys got that on base?
No,
downtown.
Downtown.
Mine were cheaper than yours.
Yeah, but right. My point is, you times that with the veterans' population. This is what the veterans are bringing into the coffers of Guam, just in eyeglasses alone. Just in eyeglasses alone.
Maybe we should talk to Dr. Lombard to bring the price down. What do you think?
All right, we have a phone call.
We're going to start a fight here.
Yeah.
I'm glad you have plastic between you two. All right. John on line one. How you doing? Welcome to Vet Talk. It's good to hear from you again.
Hey, thank you for having me. Thanks for announcing the wave we're going to be doing. I think it's very important that we get this point across, the suicide prevention campaign, because, we've lost another one within this week. So, so bring out your flags, bring out your banners, bring out anything that represents your organization just to show that that we are there and they're not alone. I really appreciate it announcing it.
Okay, and we're going to keep this, and we're actually going to put it up on the Facebook site for News Talk K57, so it'll be put out there that way as well.
Awesome. So I'm just waiting for the director to call in already? I was doing something.
No, we're waiting for him to call in now.
Okay, awesome. So keep up the great work. I love you guys, what you're doing. You guys are awesome.
All right, John. Thanks.
Thank you, Johnny.
All right. Take it easy.
Yeah. And again, that was John Conception from Got Your Six organization.
So we lost another veteran to suicide, right?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Suicide, it's a real thing that people don't understand.
No.
Especially with the pandemic going on, being locked down, can't go out, and things are starting to open back up now, yes. But you take a veteran that has PTSD, for example, and then you throw all this on top of it, it just compounds what they're going through. Okay, we're going to go back to the phone lines. This time, I can do this correctly. Guam's Veterans Affairs Office.
Tommy, bet you five.
The director, Tim Uggen, is online with Tim. Welcome.
Off the day, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, Timmy.
Hey, before we go into what you want to talk about, were you listening earlier when I read the letter from Tina Mooney Barnes?
Vice Speaker? Well, I got a copy of it in my office last week. What did you guys want to talk about?
My question was, did you have any input into what went into that letter, or were you just given a copy as a courtesy?
I was given the courtesy.
Given a copy as a courtesy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I wish there was more discussion around it before they sent the letter. It's pretty broad based on President Biden's directive on the supplemental grant that's coming down, the stimulus. So, it needs to be specified, whether or not the veterans of Guam are going to be designated a certain amount of dollars, because it's not. And this is where we need the support of the congressman to help us, identify that in the language, or at least the number of dollars that will be going to the Guam veterans. This is also something that I'm working with Bill Kunda from the minority group, and it's just going to be a long exercise until somebody actually bites on it and wakes up and says, hey, these guys really, we never really designated anything specifically for the Guam veterans. It always comes in bulk, and then we leave it up to the powers of be to divvy up the money, and then we get lost in the shuffle.
If you would have been consulted on this What would you have added to the letter? Would you like to discuss that?
Well, one of the things I would stress is that, you know, they need to be specific when they give guidance like this, and any type of legislation or policy that comes down through the states and the territories, especially when it deals with money, there needs to be a specific designation dollar amount that goes to the veterans, mm-hmm. instead of setting it in bulk, because then that gets lost. It gets lost in politics.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I had on that particular letter. What is it that you wanted to put out to the audience here?
Well, I made this announcement last week at the Veterans Commission organization meeting last week. So the Guam Veterans Cemetery has been accepted to the Reefs Across America nationwide event, which happens every December around the 18th. And this is where this nonprofit organization places reefs across America. Specifically, one of the icons is Arlington Cemetery, mm-hmm. where every headstone, head marker, has a reef placed upon the headstone. So I tried last year, as I mentioned before, we were kind of late in the game, so I made sure that we're in early so we can get the word out, get as many nonprofit veteran organizations, civic organizations, high school ROTC groups, Boy Scouts of America, Girl Scouts of America, everybody and everyone that wants to volunteer, wants to honor a veteran of a fallen one or a loved one. And so we want to be able to fundraise in order to pay for 5,870 reefs. We started the website today. I shot it out on all my chat, and within a matter of minutes, people started sponsoring reefs.
How many reefs for that?
I'm sorry?
How many reefs are you trying to...
Our goal is to put one on every single headstone, uh-huh. and that's 5,870 times $15 comes up roughly around 80-some thousand dollars. But this is all, you know, that's why it's a... The marketing or the word of mouth, mm-hmm, the mm-hmm. promotion of this is really significant to get the volunteers, to get the family members to participate in this program, the nonprofit organizations, especially the veterans, and then the branches of services, right? Army National Guard, Air Guard, you know, the Air Force Reserve, you know, all the other entities. Mm-hmm. And take pride and honor and remember those that have fallen, our veterans, before us.
Okay.
And then also we're looking at corporate companies that are willing to help out. I know that American President Lines already has committed to helping us. Ambrose Incorporated has committed to helping us out in regards to in-kind donation, helping us with promotions, transportation, things of the sort. So we're going to aggressively rally behind Reefs Around America. We're going to use some of their footage from previous events that were held. Mm-hmm. We're going to run it on PBS. We're going to run it as many media outlets as we can. We'll be at various shopping centers and whatnot to ring the bell or, you know, get the word out. And you know, we accept donations, but we greatly appreciate sponsorship of a reef.
Go ahead, John.
Tim, this is Tom Devlin. My question, have you made an outreach to elected leaders on Guam?
Well, I had our press release goes out tomorrow, and then we're going to send a letter tomorrow to every single senator, you know, because Reefs Across America is a nonprofit organization. You know, we're trying to keep this you know, non-political as possible.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but veterans are Republican and Democrat, so that's, you know, that's just the way it is. But elected leaders can take the money out of their own pocket. Doesn't have to be a Republican or a Democrat.
That's how I see it.
Tom,
if you can get them to pull it out of their own pocket, man, you're Santa Claus, brother.
Well, we'll put it this way. Elections come every 2 years and every 4 years.
Santa Claus.
You know, so, and I think it's time that as an institution that we hold elected leaders, whether here on the states, accountable. You know, put your money where your mouth is every so often. You know the old saying.
Okay. I totally agree with you, Tom, and I'm sure that they'll get behind this because, you know, I know somebody somewhere will be taking note whether or not they participated in this historical event.
And again, okay. This is going to be on December 18th?
Yes, sir. December 18th.
Okay. Johnny, you had a question?
December 18th?
Yes.
This coming December?
Yes. As in,
that's like, a year away.
Well, if you're trying to raise $80,000, yeah, you need to start early. So, but no, it's great foresight on your part there, Tim. That's awesome. Can I ask you? Go ahead.
Well, if you just think about it, I mean, I have my grandparents that are buried there on my mom's side, and you know, my grandfather, after my grandmother passed away in 1982, he remarried. So both of my grandfather's wives are buried there up at the cemetery, and I know my in-laws have people buried there. So, you know, families like ours will be paying for that. And, you know, here's where the nonprofit veteran organizations can take advantage to support and grow their own organization. So for every wreath that they purchase at $15, Wreaths Across America will give back that organization $5. So then they can be, you know, give them a little bit of pocket money to self-sustain their mission programs and help grow their organization, which I think is a great idea. And then there's those that are giving, like, for example, there was a couple that purchased 5 wreaths today, and 2 are going to their both of their fathers, and the other 3 are going to be donated. So basically, you know, it's about donation. It's about remembering your loved one that's buried there. And as being the highest per capita in enlistment, and of course the number of veterans, 25,000, you know, I'm almost sure that we can get the money to cover 5,870 wreaths at the cemetery, which, by the way, includes the Naval Memorial Cemetery.
I think Tom has another question for you.
Tim, I have a request for you. Can you email me that flyer?
I sure can.
Okay.
If you can text me your email, Tom.
You have the email on my business card.
I'll send it to you tomorrow.
Your staff has the email down there in the office.
Tom's not checking his email till tomorrow anyway.
That's right, so don't worry about it.
I'll send it tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you.
I got a question.
Yeah.
It was brought up by one of our prominent veterans. What about Memorial Day? Do we have anything scheduled for Memorial Day?
I'm so glad you brought that up. So right now our office is working with the administration up at Adloop with the protocol office. We are scheduling a meeting. We also spoke to, we have another meeting with the VA Council, the VA Commission, and we're going to marry all of that up together, and we're going to start hammering out the details on what's going to happen on Memorial Day.
Oh, okay. So, stand by to stand by.
Give me a couple weeks, and we'll have something, you know, at least in draft, a proposal of what we kind of want to do collectively.
Okay, since we were talking about the cemeteries, the last time we had you on the air, you were saying that you were working to get the cemeteries back up to par so we would be in compliance.
Yes, sir.
Where are we in that process?
I am happy to say that we are 95% complete on the deficiency report from the 2018 audit. There's just a couple of things in there that we need to fix in regards to the facilities, and then we'll be 100% compliant. We are in the yellow for application for grant for the expansion of the cemetery and the improvement. So we're looking good here. So by the end of the month, we should be 100%.
Good job, Dan.
Wow.
Yeah,
good job, Dan.
I mean, I have to say that if it wasn't for Governor Lou Leon Guerrero to give us $150,000 to improve and repair the facilities, we won't be compliant. So you know, I'd like to thank the governor for doing that for us and thinking of the veterans and the veteran community.
And if you plan on having that done by the end of the month, will that put us into the green to be able to put in for the grant money that you were looking at?
Absolutely, because I'm also applying for another grant that is the deadline is March 31st. So, you know, I was kind of trying to hold off on talking about this, but this is we're applying for a grant to address the disabled veteran and Armed Forces veteran, disabled veteran, to secure and provide facilities and rehabilitation treatment strictly for veterans. So I let the cat out of the bag, but you know, we're applying for the grant. We had a couple of meetings already. We're putting the pieces together, the details, and then when I have more information in regards to the amount that we're actually applying for, and you know, mm-hmm. I'll have a more formal announcement on when we're ready to apply, and I'm sure we'll be ready the week of March 31st, and I'll have a clear detailed explanation on what the amount is going to be. And this is just one piece of a three-part overall plan, and to get us that medical facility. And I am working with a third party right now on the plans and what we want that facility to look like, which, by the way, is going to house the Guam Veterans Affairs Office.
Oh, wow. Okay, since the deadline for that is March 31st and that is a Wednesday, how about you scheduling to come on to the radio show here in person April 7th? Put him on the spot, on the air.
Yeah.
April 7th?
April 7th. That gives you a week after your deadline of March 31st.
Sure. That's perfect.
Yeah. That way you can have you know, all your I's dotted and T's crossed and be ready for that.
Yeah, and then by that time I should have enough information, at least a better idea of the bigger project down the line, which would be the medical facility, which would house our rehabilitation center for disabled veterans and armed forces wow. veterans, and also our office, the Guam Veterans Affairs Office,
mm-hmm.
to be housed all in one place. So basically we're going to become the one-stop vet center along with medical treatment, which would, you know, at least 50 to 100 rooms is what I'm told, what the floor plan is for that facility. So just hang tight on that. I'm still hammering out the details with the third party. So it's something that it's at the end of my term at the Veterans Affairs, I would hope that that becomes, you know, solid and concrete, and that's on its way.
Okay. I have a bunch of questions on that, but I'm going to wait till April 7th to ask those.
Write them down.
I got them. Okay. Johnny, you have a question?
Yes. When you mentioned your termination at the end of whoever wins the election or whatever and stuff, I'm hopefully not anticipating that, but should it come up that we develop a director for the VA office run by an administrator who would be classified or non-classified, but your position would be solid as a classified or non-classified or whatever? What are your ideas on that?
Well, if they want me to stay, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Because, you know, I feel that I'm in a good place, in a position to help all the veterans on Guam.
Yes, you are.
And I feel there's a lot of things that need to get done, and we're just at the beginning of it. It's a long road, but I believe in consistency, and, you know, you want to finish what you started, and you want to walk out to the sunset and look back and say, wow, man, you know, that looks great. You know, I had a small piece in all of that and the success of the Veterans Affairs.
And relativity to between the VA office and the VA commission, what do you think of the relation between the two?
Well, you know, and this is strictly, you know, just my opinion, in my mind, just because of the how the budget usually comes around, and the Veterans Affairs Office, because it's the office of the governor, underneath the office of the governor, it's just difficult to fight for the food on the table if you're, you know, you're part of the House. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in my mind, at some point, somewhere down the line, as we grow and as all these projects, expansion, medical facilities, rehabilitation clinic, when we go virtual for our records, and which is, by the way, we're working on that right now. So, you know, when that ship starts to sail with all that ammunition, then in my mind, it should be time for the Office of Veterans Affairs to become the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be one of the line agencies out there, and you go pitch for what you need, man. Go fight for the bones on the table. I mean, that's the only other way. I mean, if you're part of the House, then you get what is served for you. And, you know, you just got to live with what you got. And we're doing the best we can with what we got. And, you know, we're still fighting for scraps of whatever we can get off the table. But I just think at some point that the Office of Veterans Affairs should become its own line agency department.
Hey, I have a question about your service officers that you have down there. I know we're coming up onto a year when they were trained. Are they looking at trying to get some online training or any type of training for this year to stay current in their certifications?
Yes. You know, so the acting VSO, which is the supervisor of the VSRs, Ron Canata, already sent me a message last week, maybe. It was last week or a week, 2 weeks ago, stating that the reoccurring annual training for the VSRs is coming up. And then also at some point there's going to be some training that is going to be required of them off island. So, but unfortunately, right now there is no money in our budget. There's only enough money to pay for the warm bodies that are sitting and working hard in that office. So that's something that I have to work out with the governor's office and BBMR to see, because it requires in-person travel and to go to the schoolhouse for this training, and it's a requirement. That's something I'm going to have to work out with the administration and BBMR.
Yeah. Okay, and just to follow up with the service officers, since they have been certified, there is a system where they could, in place where they can go online to see the status of claims that they have submitted, or even submit claims through this process. Has there been any work to move to get them access to that, or do they have access to that now?
Okay, right now there's only one person that has access, which is Ron Canapa.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been working on getting them access. The challenge was they weren't able to get the fingerprints done for the security access. So just recently we received communication from the regional office saying that there was another option for us to do it locally and then submit it to them together with the package for the application to get the access. So we are currently working on that right now. I know that Ron and his team are going to go get their fingerprints done and then send it to them, and then they should be able to get the access, I'm going to say, hopefully within the next 30 to 60 days. Yeah, I'm not sure how long that process is going to take, but it shouldn't take long, because the only thing they were waiting for was the fingerprinting.
Yeah, it shouldn't take long at all.
Yeah.
Okay, we're winding down the show. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk? I have lots of more questions, but we just need to schedule a face-to-face meeting.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sorry. I apologize to Tom. I know I mentioned at the VA commission that, you know, I want to be on the radio this week to talk about Reach Across America, gain support from the community of Guam and the veterans organizations. You know, Guam is a family-oriented, we take pride in our veterans, we're a resilient community, and you know what, all I'm asking is for the people of Guam to rise up, take heart, and let's honor those veterans that have fallen before us, you know, and that's that's basically what I want to end with. And I will be on the radio in person on August 7th.
Okay. You had mentioned about the Reach Across America. You said there's a website set up. I don't remember you actually giving us that website.
Okay, so it's Reach Across America, one whole word, .org/pages/167244. That would bring you directly to the Guam Veterans page.
Okay. That's Reach Across America, all one word, .org/pages/167244.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and for the listening audience, I know we said that really, really quick. I'm going to get with John and make sure we put that out on the Facebook page for News Talk K57. So that will be able to go through there.
Yes, sir.
All right, Director Tim Uggen of the Guam Veterans Affairs Office, we really appreciate your time tonight.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for having me on. And like I mentioned before, I'd be on as much as I can whenever possible.
All right, great. You have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good evening, guys.
You too. Right. Good night, Tim.
Right. Night.
See, what did I say?
Hey, and we have one quick. We have Dan on the line. You have 30 seconds. Dan, hello. I have to push the button.
How can we get more money?
Hey, Dan, start over. Start over.
The Veterans Affairs Office, maybe we should move into making it an agency.
He was discussing that. I'm sorry, I forgot to push the button, so we missed the first part of that, but I understand what you're talking about. He is actually talking about trying to get it to go to its own entity and not under part of the ADLEAP right. office.
Department.
Yeah, he wants to make it its own department.
Create an agency for the VA.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we're against the top of the hour, Dan. I appreciate you calling back in, though.
Okay, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Good night, Dan.
All right. Final thoughts?
None at all.
None? All right. I'd like to thank Dan and Tim Uggen for calling in, and we are at the top of the hour. This has been Vet Talk on News Talk K57. We will be re-airing at 11:30. This show will re-air 11:30 a.m. Saturday to 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. This has been Vet Talk on News Talk K57. Thank you for listening.
570 AM KGUM Hagatni Guam is News Talk K57.